VSS Enterprise makes its first flight with a crew of two. The Falcon 900LX is certified in the U.S. and Europe. And the Port Authority decides security flyovers are a waste of money. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 19th, 2010. Scaled Composites and Virgin Galactic moved a step closer to their first suborbital passenger flights with VSS Enterprise late last week. Enterprise flew for the first time with a crew of two on Thursday. The spaceship stayed attached to Eve, the mothership, for the duration of the 6-hour, 12-minute flight. Two crew members, Peter Siebold and Michael Alsbury, were aboard the spaceship evaluating the vehicle's systems and functions from end to end, according to the Virgin Galactic blog. The account ends, quote, "Objectives achieved. Congratulations to the whole team," unquote. It was the 33rd flight for Eve, which made an appearance at AirVenture in 2009. VSS Enterprise is designed to carry six fare-paying passengers on suborbital space flights, allowing an out-of-the-seat zero-gravity experience and offering astounding views of the planet from the black sky of space. Dassault Falcon says it has received certification from both the FAA and EASA for the newest member of the family, the Falcon 900LX. The large cabin jet is based on the Falcon 900EX with enhanced performance and economy. The company says it burns 35-40% less fuel than other aircraft in its class, thanks to advanced lightweight structures, an extremely efficient wing, and Aviation Partners blended winglets. At its maximum takeoff weight, Dassault says the Falcon 900LX climbs to flight level 390 in 20 minutes. Range is 4,700 nautical miles. Read more in the text version of this story, dated July 17th, at aero-news.net. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey has grounded its two Sikorsky helicopters and plans to sell them, saying using them for security flyovers is a waste of money in a difficult economy. Port Authority police had flown over the city's airports and bridges twice a day, Monday through Friday, to check security. They've also done security sweeps for VIPs and Port Authority business meetings. One was uncovered that took someone not employed by the Port Authority up for an aerial overview of the city. The New York Post reports the unit's three pilots will be let go at the end of the month with six-month severance. The ground crews were told they're being reassigned. The sale of the two helicopters is expected to net about $8.5 million. The port says if it needs helicopters, it can call NYPD, the New Jersey State Police, or the City of Newark, all of which have helicopters that can respond in an emergency. Up next on ANN, Dreamliner interiors will be built in South Carolina. Boeing hints there may be more delays in 787 deliveries. And the world needs 31,000 new planes in the next 20 years. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing has announced that its new Dreamliner Interiors fabrication facility will be built in North Charleston, South Carolina, about 10 miles from the new Dreamliner assembly plant. Boeing said Thursday it will purchase land from Stone Mountain Industrial Park Incorporated for the new facility, which will eventually employ 150 people. They'll build stow bins, closets, partitions, class dividers, and other parts. Boeing announced earlier that 787s built in South Carolina would have their own supply chain, independent of the one which feeds planes built in Seattle. In a thinly veiled hint to the unions in Washington State, Boeing VP Ray Conner explained, quote, "The selected location for our new interiors facility will provide us with the continued flexibility we need to leverage our production capability and meet the needs of our 787 customers," unquote. Translation? Aircraft deliveries can't be held hostage by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Delays in the Dreamliner's development may not be over. Program Chief Scott Fancher told reporters in a conference call Friday that deliveries of the first customer aircraft to All Nippon Airways are now at risk of slipping into 2011. The Chicago Tribune quotes Fancher in reporting the potential delay is due in part to inspections and fixes necessary to address several production issues in planes that have already been built. Fancher did say that the most recent problem, which was discovered in the horizontal stabilizer, has been resolved, and all five Dreamliners in the test program are again flying. He added that no further design issues have arisen, that the customer is being kept in the loop, and that any further slippage will not exceed a few weeks. The Boeing 2010 current market outlook was released on Thursday in London and projects a market for 30,900 new commercial passenger and freighter airplanes by 2029, worth a total of $3.6 trillion. VP Randy Tinseth observed, quote, "The world market is doing much better than last year, but there are still challenges. We expect the world economy to grow above the long-term trend this year. As a result, both passenger and cargo travel will grow this year. Airline revenue and yields are up, but fuel prices remain volatile," unquote. The Asia-Pacific region shows the most robust market gains, with China leading the way. Still ahead, Navion X will bring sanctioned support to owners of the type. Twin Commander University Edition 10 is scheduled for Florida, and airlines may be forced into making in-flight Wi-Fi free. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, July 19th. I'm Paul Plack. Chris Gardner, who's president and CEO of Sierra Hotel Aero and holds the type certificate for the Navion aircraft, has announced the formation of a new organization called Navion X. It's a 501c3 nonprofit aviation organization that will use the internet and social media to share information, plan social gatherings, and educational forums. Gardner will be the first president, but only until a replacement is elected. The group will be administered by a board elected by members. Gardner explains, quote, "We felt there was a need to have a forum that would be more closely affiliated with the type certificate holder to assure owners and enthusiasts accurate information to enhance support, preservation, and popularity of the Navion," unquote. You can find out more at navionx.org. Twin Commander pilots and owners are invited to the 10th edition of the Twin Commander University next April 28th through 30th. The university campus will be the Hyatt Regency Coconut Point Resort and Spa in Bonita Springs on Southwest Florida's Gulf Coast. The curriculum will follow the format of previous universities, with an opening day radar training class, followed by two full days of seminars devoted to the operation, maintenance, and upgrade of Twin Commanders. Twin Commander Aircraft President Matt Isley calls it, quote, "a hands-on opportunity for owners, operators, and prospective owners to interact with experts on all issues having to do with flying and caring for their aircraft," unquote. One of the highlights is a ramp tour of the several dozen Twin Commanders flown in from around the country and internationally. Find out more at twincommander.com. And finally today, I'm going to be on the road for most of the next 3 weeks as Aero News prepares to cover the last time's DC-3 reunion in Rock Falls, Illinois, EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, and the Popular Rotorcraft Association's annual convention in Mentone, Indiana. 10 years ago, when I started doing audio podcasting from remote locations, I remember dreaming about the day we'd have wireless internet access on airline flights to make use of the otherwise wasted time. But you know what? Now, most flights on major airlines offer Wi-Fi, but I haven't used it once, and it looks like I'm not alone. Statistics suggest only about 1 in 10 airline passengers has tried it. The Canadian press quotes airline technology consultant Michael Planey predicting the airlines may have to make Wi-Fi free by the middle of next year. He predicts it'll start with JetBlue, AirTran, and Southwest, which will force the legacy airlines to follow. He suspects they'll cover the cost in one of three ways. advertising revenue through arrangements with Google or Verizon, eat the costs but find ways to use it for their own operations, such as in-flight connections with the reservations department, or make deals to earn commissions on items purchased by airborne passengers. So why aren't we flocking to the paid in-flight Wi-Fi? Here are the leading hypotheses. First, after being nickel and dimed for everything from checked bags to pillows, we're just no longer in the mood to add another $5 to $13 to our flights. Second, if we arrange to work while waiting around in the airport, we can use Wi-Fi there free of charge. Except, of course, at Chicago Midway. And third, but the biggie, for me at least, there's just not enough room between rows to comfortably open a standard-sized notebook computer. So I'm not sure I'll be using it on flights next year, even if it is free. And yes, I agree, it is funny that there's an airline technology consultant named Michael Planey. No, I don't know if that's his real name, but at least his folks didn't name him Aero. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller has advice for GA pilots planning to fly into Oshkosh this weekend. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts on iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.